The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light. And what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me and for me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One thing that everyone always seems to want a prophet to say is that things aren't really that bad, are they? They can't really be that bad. Come on, Jeremiah. It's not actually that bad, is it? Those were Jeremiah's opponents, those who said, peace, peace, and there was no peace. Those like Hananiah, who said that soon enough the yoke of the Babylonians would be broken. Those who refused to listen to him, and if they did listen to him, dismissed him as quickly as they possibly could, because they refused to believe. Could not believe that things were actually that bad. I'm afraid, dear friends in Christ, that the fairly consistent message of the Bible, of the Torah, and of the prophets, and of the apostles, and of the gospels, is that things actually are that bad. It's hard for us to look directly at our own sin and at the sin of the society we live in. Frankly, it's exhausting. It's demoralizing. It's frightening. Who could stand to have that kind of awareness all the time? There was an initiative when I was a student in seminary. It was called Healthy Leaders Living Well at Luther. And I do not think that Jeremiah would have been a very good poster child for Healthy Leaders Living Well at Luther. Healthy Leaders Living Well at Luther was all about self-care, all about looking after oneself. And I don't know, to read the passage from Jeremiah that we heard today and to read the book of Jeremiah generally, Jeremiah honestly doesn't seem to have been that good at self-care. He had a word from God that he would rather not have spoken. It was a painful word, a hard word, a disastrous word, and he would much rather have kept it silent. But when he tried to do that, he found there was something like a fire in his bones, and he could not keep it in. Our temptation, I think, well, we have many temptations, of course. One temptation is to do what Jeremiah was tempted to do what everybody else wanted Jeremiah to do, and that is to remain silent about the difficult truths that we hear in Scripture, that we know in our own lives, that we see in the world we live in and the society around us. Another temptation is to view ourselves as martyrs, to see ourselves as the hero of every story that we read in the Bible. Certainly when I read this passage from Jeremiah, I think of the distress that I have been undergoing recently with all the coronavirus and the protests, the moral weight of living in these times, or I think of incidents in my own personal life, and I compare myself to Jeremiah. And that's one temptation. But I think a lot of the time we're not so much Jeremiah as we are those around Jeremiah, whispering, "Terror is all around, denounce him, let us denounce him," watching for him to stumble, waiting for some reason why we don't have to take this terrible man and the terrible things he says seriously. Many of the great preachers that the church has produced have found the Word of God and they're called to proclaim it to be almost unbearable. I know that was true of Martin Luther King Jr. He faced violence and he called on his followers to face violence. He was hated, broadly, widely hated. It's fairly standard for us to wish that another Martin Luther King Jr. would appear, or to wish that the present protesters and agitators would be more like Martin Luther King Jr., but in point of fact, people hated him in his own day. He was widely unpopular, especially, of course, in white America. But he still had a word from God, and it was a terrible word, but it had to be spoken. If I say I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, then within me there is something like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot. They were terrible things that Jeremiah had to proclaim. I spoke of it a few weeks ago. Jeremiah had to proclaim the sin of the people, the wickedness of the people, the injustice that they did, their abuse of the poor and of the widow and of the orphan and of the foreigner. And he had to proclaim what God would bring about in response to this. And that was the destruction of the city, the destruction of the temple, and the exile to a foreign land where the leaders of the people would live for 70 years. Things really were that bad. It was hard for people to believe. They couldn't really imagine that God cared that much about an orphan crying for bread, or about a widow being denied justice, or about someone having an altar to Baal or to the Queen of Heaven in their house. But God actually did care. Things really were that bad. And so for us too, I think there's a very strong temptation to think, oh, things can't be that bad. Look how far we've come. Sure, there are still a few problems, but things aren't that bad, really. Surely we're all getting worked up over nothing. I don't know. The message of the prophets was generally not, actually, things aren't that bad. The message of the prophets was more generally, things are even worse than you think they are. God sees your wickedness. God sees your mistreatment of your neighbor. Your neighbor's blood cries out to God from the ground, and God is not deaf to it. Another temptation, then, is the temptation to despair. And that is also a temptation that we must resist. Things really are that bad. But we know how bad they are because God has given us to see how God wants things to be. God has given us to imagine the possibility of a world made new, of all people cared for in a community, of those who claim the name of God, serving God with all their heart, soul, and mind and strength, and loving their neighbors as themselves, seeing God in the face of each one of their neighbors, and loving the image of God that they see there. Things really were that bad. They really were. The people were exiled. the city was destroyed. The world of the Israelites, of Jeremiah's people in Jerusalem when he lived, could not and would not and did not go on forever. And yet, God was with them in all things. God was with Jeremiah when he had a hard word to preach, and God was with the people of Jerusalem when they had to endure an unimaginable reality. And so God is with you. If you find that you have a hard word to speak, God is with you when you speak it. If you find more likely that you have a hard word to hear and to absorb, God is with you as you listen and as you understand and as you comprehend and as you think through how you will live your life in response to this word that you have heard. And no matter what the future holds, through all of life, through health, through illness, through tranquility, through violence, through shouts, demonstrations, riots, if you want to call them that, through all of it, God is with you to uphold you and sustain you. Jeremiah committed his cause to the Lord, and thanks be to God, so may we. Amen.